In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. I approached him under the cover of night. I was scared to go to him. What he had just done had rattled the whole city. He had walked into our most sacred temple and he had shut it down. The animals that were ready for sacrifice were driven out. The bankers, the money changers, their tables were scattered. All of the business, the very economy of our very city, our very nation, came to a screeching halt. The whole religious life of our nation came to a screeching halt because of this man. Oh, and you better believe it, they wanted him dead right then. But I was intrigued. What would cause a man to do this, and how could a man survive shutting down our temple? And I'd heard whispers of what he had done previously in a town of Cana, at a wedding, where he made the wine overflow like no one had ever seen before. I was scared, but I was curious. So I approached him under the cover of night. I didn't want anyone to see. When I got to him, I talked to him about how maybe it was true that he was from God, as he had been claiming. For I told him, how could someone do such signs as these and not be from God? What he told me made me laugh to myself. It was ridiculous. He said, no one can see God's kingdom, the presence of God's rule on the earth, unless he or she is born again. Born again? What are you talking about, Jesus? I was born decades ago. How can I, as an old man, go back into the womb of my mother and come out again? Jesus, there's only one birth, right? He told me no, I was missing the point. That yes, there is a birth of the flesh, but there is a birth of the spirit that our people had been missing. A spiritual birth, a birth not from the will of men who decide they want to have families, not the birth of the carnal flesh that just desires another person. Not the birth of the kingdoms of our world. A birth from God. A birth from above, he told me. He said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit of God himself, you will never participate in the reality of God's rule, his presence, his provision, his protection, his love for all creation. This blew my mind. He told me that the Spirit of God was not something that you could control. And as I looked back on the history of our people, that's exactly what we had been doing, right? For millennia. Putting God, so we thought, in the Ark of the Covenant. Putting God in the tabernacle tent. Putting God in the temple that Jesus himself had shut down. We had been trying to control the Spirit. If you wanted to encounter the Spirit of God, our priests told you where to go. Go to the temple. Kill an animal. Offer incense at the altar. Go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. These were the times that you could encounter God's Spirit. No, Jesus said. God's Spirit cannot be controlled. It's like the wind. Do you feel the wind blowing out there today? Do you control where it comes from? When it's going to stop? When it's going to change directions? No. Just like the wind, Jesus said, God's Spirit. It moves. It blows in the world, in our lives, totally outside of our control. But we need this Spirit. Without it, we're dead, he told me. And then he told me of that story of our people. Long time ago, you're probably familiar. When we were in the wilderness, we'd come out of Egypt, slaves to civilization. God had brought us out. Moses was our fearless leader. But when we got into the wilderness, what happened? We told Moses, we told God, what did you do? Bring us out here to die? Where is the food, the water of civilization? Feed us. Give us something to drink. God had tried to bring us out of the darkness of our old lives, had tried to give us a new birth into wilderness life with him. And what was our response? Rejection. And do you remember what happened to the people when they rejected God's word? The snakes. They came out of everywhere. And they were biting the people. People were dying as the snakes were latching onto them, and the venom of the snakes was destroying them. And what did Moses do? He lifted up a bronze snake, remember, on a pole? And whoever looked to that pole was able to live, was able to come out of the darkness of the serpents and the snakes of civilization that were poisoning us. Jesus told me that day, he said, I will be lifted up like that bronze snake for all who want to live, all who want to come out of the darkness of civilization into the light of God's kingdom must look on me when I am lifted up. He then told me that that's why he had come. Because God loved, he told me, all the universe, the whole cosmos, all of creation, so he had come. Come not to destroy the world, that in fact he was the one here to save the world. The world was already being destroyed. And he told me this was the truth that we had all been hiding from. He said, God's light has come into the world, but humans have rejected it. He said, humanity loves the darkness. And it was convicting what he told me about the darkness. He said, we love the darkness of civilization because we can hide. He said, we love our secret lives. He said, everyone loves the darkness who doesn't want the truth of who they are, what they are, what they do to be exposed. He said, so the light of God has already come into the world, but what have men done? They have scattered like bugs, hiding from the light of God, running away from his light because the truth hurts. It made me think of what Jesus was telling me about birth. Physical birth is painful. One of the most painful things a person can undergo. But without the pain of the birth, there is no life. And I started thinking, then the birth through the Spirit must be painful as well. Have you ever been dwelling in a dark place for a long time and stepped out into bright sunlight? The shielding you have to do for your eyes, the pain. The light hurts when you've been living in the darkness. The truth hurts when you've been living lies. Birth hurts. But life is on the other side. We still come to Jesus under the cover of darkness, don't we? We want to encounter Jesus, but on our terms. We want to listen to Jesus a little bit, but we don't want to sit in the full light. And so we go to Jesus under the cover of darkness. We think that maybe we can have both, right? That maybe we can have Jesus like Nicodemus wanted, but I don't want to be seen with Jesus. I don't want to really buy into everything he's doing, but I'm intrigued. He's a fascinating man. We do the same, don't we? We still sneak around in the dark. What darkness is hiding your life? What shadows are there in your life that you are crouching under? What are the secrets? The things that you hide that you think no one can see? We love the safety of the shadows that we've created in the secret places of our lives. But Jesus tells us, the darkness is killing us. Your secrets, they're killing you. The hidden life that you have, that maybe you think is harmless, is destroying you. And so Jesus invites us to step out, to come out of the shadows, to step into the light. Yes, the truth hurts. But as Jesus will later tell us in John's gospel, only the truth can set you free. You may need to shade your eyes a little bit from the light, the brilliance of the truth of Jesus, of the life that he is calling you into. But once you undergo the birth, leaving the darkness, the secrets, the lies, the hidden world behind, you will be born again. And Jesus says it is only as we undergo this birth that we can live, truly live. The world tells us that its dark shadows is life, but we're dying. The serpents of the world are biting us everywhere. They are everywhere. Have you seen how the serpents of our world penetrate every corner of our lives? They're coming through your job. They're coming through your workplaces, through the media, through the politics, through every place, the stores, the serpents of our world are biting at us and we're dropping like flies. Who is going to save us? One will be lifted up. And this one will rise above. And the bite of the serpents will no longer be able to destroy us. God so loved his whole creation that he sent his Son to save us. To save us from the darkness we've made. To call us into the light. So may we stop going to Jesus under the cover of darkness. May we go to Jesus in the light. May we be vulnerable. May we confess the truth of who we are and recognize that God will receive us regardless of the lies, regardless of the secrets that will be exposed. His light will destroy the secrets, but we ourselves will be welcomed and saved. So come, step into the light. It is our only salvation. Amen.